podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's give the Lord a chance to speak to us today. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 4 to 7. If you have a pew Bible, that's on page 832, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, how we desire that peace that transcends understanding. Father, how we desire to own that peace in our lives, Lord, to be able to hide in the love of Jesus. So, Father, we pray that you would speak to us according to your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we begin a new series of messages called Dealing. And here's the thing, because you are alive today, you have the privilege of dealing with many, many different situations and a variety of emotions day by day by day. And as we come together this morning, you are facing life. Right? That's the good thing about life. Maybe you're experiencing sorrow or bitterness or stress today or illness of some sort. You have a unique perspective this morning on what it means to be alive and what it means to deal with difficulty as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Job, the Bible speaks the truth that we have all come to know. People are born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. Right? If you ever see a spark that's not flying upward, it's an outlier, right? All of the sparks fly upward. So to be realistic, human beings face trouble. We face difficulty in life, all sorts of situations. So don't be surprised that you must deal with difficulty in your life. It's a part of our existence. You know you're breathing because you're facing trouble. But how do we deal with life gracefully and in a way that honors the Lord, no matter what it is that we face? And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series of messages. So let's talk this morning about dealing with disappointment. Now, as I watched the basketball game last night, there was a point in the second half when Syracuse hit a three-pointer and they came within 7 points of North Carolina. And I began to think about how I might be preaching this message this morning as one who has recently experienced some disappointment. Well, we've put that off for at least another night. What is disappointment? Right? I probably don't have to tell you because you already know, but what is disappointment? Look at the word, the English word disappointment. The prefix is dis, right? Which means not or lack of. For example, dishonesty is a lack of honesty. Discouragement is a state when you no longer have courage. Discourage, no courage. So the rest of this word is appointment, right? And we think of this in terms of like when you make an appointment. You arrange for a time that you're going to meet. An appointment on your calendar. Or a person who is appointed to a position. They're promised a position. An appointment is an expectation that you have. It's something that you put into place that you are looking forward to. Disappointment is when the rug is pulled out from under your appointment, right? When the object of your hopes and your dreams, that which you've been looking forward to, whether it's long-term or short-term, whatever it is, it's suddenly gone and everything has been altered. The date is scrubbed from your calendar. The position you were appointed to no longer exists. It's been discontinued and now you are disappointed. A good short dictionary definition of disappointment is frustrated expectations. Frustrated expectations. In other words, disappointment develops when expectations exceed experience. That's when disappointment develops, whenever your expectations exceed your experience. Now, some of you are disappointed right now because you're saying the word expectation exceeds this little line that Jack gave me to write it on. Sorry about that. I didn't do that on purpose to make a point, but disappointment develops when our expectations exceed our experience. So at the beginning of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, also known as March Madness, even though it's April now, there were 64 teams. If you count the play-in games, there were 68 teams. So if all 68 teams go into March expecting to win the national championship, then there's going to be a whole lot of people who are going to experience some disappointment when reality strikes, right? Because there's only one team that is appointed to win. The rest will be disappointed in the process. And reality has a way of sinking our hopes. In the case of March Madness, there are many more people will be disappointed than will be appointed by the end. The same is true when you apply for a job, right? You think that you're a great candidate. How can I miss, right? I've got all this experience and all this education, the great references that I've sent in. How can they say no? What you can't see is that they also have dozens and dozens of other candidates with similar credentials, and if the truth be told, they already had somebody for the position before they even posted it. Only one will be appointed. The rest will be disappointed. And that's the way life works. Now, disappointment can be a small thing, right? Like when you find out that your coupon has expired and you don't have enough money for your Happy Meal, right? Sometimes it's small. But sometimes disappointment can be a big thing too, like when your bride doesn't show up on your wedding day. That's a big disappointment. Or when you find out that dad's cancer has returned. Or when your prayers aren't answered. When you are expecting a raise and it doesn't come. Right? Well, all of these disappointments flow through our lives. And the Bible doesn't avoid the topic of disappointment. Right? Some people think that the Bible paints this rosy picture about how life should be perfect. Right? If we trust in God, then everything will flow smoothly. And we'll never experience any discouragement or disappointment in our life. Well, that's not the Bible. The Bible is filled with examples of disappointment. God himself, I believe, is disappointed at times. Even though he's sovereign, even though he already knows the way it's going to end up, he still experiences disappointment. And for sure, Jesus experienced disappointment while he was here in this world. But let me give you a biblical example. Now, this is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning a drought that was about to hit Jerusalem. In the book of Jeremiah, we read, "Judah mourns, her cities languish, they wail for the land, and a cry goes up from Jerusalem. The nobles send their servants for water, they go to the cisterns but find no water. They return with their jars unfilled, dismayed and despairing, they cover their heads." It's a beautiful picture of what disappointment is all about, right? Now, what was their expectation? Water. Water. And what was the reality, the experience? No water. So their expectation exceeds their experience. What do you get when your expectation exceeds your experience? Disappointment. Happens every time. The result is dismay, despairing. It says that they cover their heads. That's a sign of grief. You know, we in our culture, we don't cover our heads when we experience grief. We might shake our heads or we might hang our heads. That's disappointment. And we face it every single day of our lives. Life is filled with disappointments. Big ones, small ones. I mean, we could probably go around the room this morning, person by person, and document our disappointments. But I think if we did that, we would all walk out discouraged instead of encouraged. And that's not the reason we came, right? We came this morning to talk about dealing with disappointment, not documenting disappointment. So the way that we deal with disappointment can be life-changing. It can be life-altering. Not the disappointment, but the way that we deal with the disappointment can make a huge difference in our lives. So here are some ways that we often deal with disappointment. Disappointment can direct you, first of all, to distrust God. Sometimes disappointment can direct you to distrust God. When you pray for something good and God doesn't come through, you can lose your faith in God. You begin to doubt if He cares for you at all. Is God even there? Does He see me? Does He know my needs? Is there even a God in this world? Begin to ask questions like that. How can God allow good people who want good things to be disappointed? It doesn't make any sense. There are hardworking men who have lost their jobs and they are diligently looking for a new job, only to be disappointed again and again and again. There are couples who would make awesome parents who wait and wait and they pray and they pray, and with each month comes another disappointment. There are couples who have graduated from seminary with the dream of going on the mission field and spreading the gospel to the world. They pray for the Lord's guidance in their life and for the funding, and things don't happen. And their student loans are huge, and they remain right where they started, desiring to serve God with their lives. And people, well-meaning people, ask hurtful questions like, I thought you were going to be missionaries. What's up with that? What happened? And they're disappointed. In those situations, we have a choice to make. Will I lose my faith in God, or will I allow the disappointment I feel to increase my faith? Will I lose my faith in God, or will I use this as an opportunity for my faith to increase? One thing for sure, the Bible teaches us that God does not disappoint. God does not disappoint. Now, you may feel dismayed by what's happening in your life. You may feel disappointed and dejected by the circumstances, by what's going on around you. But if you could see the big picture through God's eyes, you would know that God does not disappoint. Let me give you an example. If I let him, my son would play games on his tablet or on Jerry's phone from the time he gets off the school bus until he falls asleep at night with the tablet completely uncharged and still clutched in his little claws. Believe me, he would. This might be his expectation. To play nonstop games. That's what he wants. That's what he desires, right? If this is his expectation, though, he will be disappointed. I can guarantee you that. Why? Because we're not good parents? Because we don't love him? No, in fact, the very opposite is true. It's obvious to us, right? We're good parents. We love him deeply. We know that he needs to do his homework. We know that he needs to play outside and get some fresh air. We know that he needs to eat supper with the family and go to bed at a reasonable hour. We understand this. If a few minutes of video games fits into that schedule somehow, then good. Then good. He can play. But if he thinks he can play to his heart's content, well, that's just not going to happen. And he's going to be disappointed. Unfortunately. You see, his heart's content and my heart's content are sometimes two totally different things, right? His heart's content and my heart's content are different in this matter. He just wants to enjoy some games. I want him to grow up, to be healthy and strong, and to be a good student. He will be disappointed. But I didn't disappoint him. I came through for him. I did what was good for him. Now, he's not happy about it at the moment, but one day he might get it. I get now why my parents had to restrict my playing of Pong and Breakout on my Atari system. Yes, I am that old. That's right. So when you feel disappointed by God, you need to remember that your heart's content and His heart's content may be at cross purposes. You may be disappointed by the situation, but God is not the one who disappoints, because He always does what is best. Does that make sense? If you're disappointed by life right now, the last thing that you should do is distrust God. It's not time to lose your faith. Now is the time for your faith to grow, to increase, as you recognize that He loves you and He completely knows what He's doing. He's got this thing. And another mistake we make when we're disappointed is that we lower our hopes. We lower our hopes. Now, I actually saw this on one of those psychobabble websites, you know. It talked about if you want to keep from being disappointed in life, one of the things you can do is lower your expectations, right? Yeah, lower your expectations, and then you won't be disappointed. If you don't hope for anything, then you won't experience disappointment. Sounds like good advice, right? At first. But imagine living life that way. Where would that lead? What kind of life would this be if we were not willing to dream big dreams and pursue visions? Can we accomplish anything in life with first establishing a plan and a vision and a strategy to get there? How can we eliminate expectations from our life? We're filled with expectation. But what would it be like? Well, you know, when we got married, I didn't expect much from him, so at least I'm not disappointed, right? Or, buddy, it's better if you don't try out for the football team. Let me tell you why, right? That way you won't be disappointed when you're cut. Let's face it, we all face disappointment. If we live our lives in fear of disappointment, we will not take any risks and we'll go nowhere. We won't dream any dreams. What kind of life is that? And according to the Bible, we have a God who does great things. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. That's how great our God is. Our God does great things, so you shouldn't lower your hopes in order to avoid disappointment. If anything, your expectations are way too low. They're not high enough. Your hopes aren't big enough. You need to dream big, but you need to dream in line with God's will. And you need to want nothing less than what He wants for you, which are great things. Now, if that means exchanging your dream for His dream from time to time, so be it. So be it. Sometimes it takes disappointment for us to get in line with His will. Sometimes that's what it requires, us going through a season of disappointment in our lives before we recognize what His will was in the first place. But don't lower your hopes. That's not a godly strategy at all. And one more place disappointment can direct you, that is to give up. You know, if lowering hopes is a bad idea, then giving up is even worse. You say, I've had it with life. I've been disappointed one too many times. I'm done. Listen to David's prayer. He says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemy will say I have overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Does it sound like the guy's a little disappointed to you? But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. What an awesome prayer. He's disappointed. He's on the brink of giving up, but he pulls through and he praises God in the end. David and the Apostle Paul would get along pretty well, because the key to David rising above his disappointment is to rejoice and to praise God. That's how he gets out of it. let's look at what Paul says. Back to Philippians chapter 4. If you have your Bible still open to Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Good enough to say it twice. This takes us to the remedy for disappointment. See, disappointment is defeated when you join your joy to the Lord. Disappointment is defeated when you join your joy to the Lord. See, Paul instructs this suffering and persecuted church in Philippi to rejoice. He says, rejoice. But this is no platitude, right? This is not saying, hey, you know, buck up, you know, feel better, man. Get over it. This is not a platitude. There are plenty of platitudes in this world. Gray skies are going to clear up. Put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up. Put on a happy face. Right? Oh, some of you are already smiling. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. Hello, world, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. Come on, get happy. Right? Some of the ladies who grew up in the 70s won't be able to get past that. All they see is David Cassidy in their mind right now. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. I could go on and on and on. So if you feel disappointed, just turn up the tunes, right? Turn that frown upside down. Get happy. Perk up, right? Things are bound to get better, right? Rejoice. Isn't that what Paul says? Paul is not teaching that a change in your attitude makes any difference at all. That's not what he's saying here. No, it's not just about rejoicing. It's about rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Here's the deal. No matter how disappointed you are, you have a God who loves you. You have a God who knows the big picture. A God who has plans for your life that include hope and a future. You have a God who knows how badly and deeply you hurt, how disappointed you feel. And He loves you. He loves you. And one day He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. We have a God that is good, a God that can be trusted completely. And no matter what the disappointments are that you face, you can rejoice in Him. Look away from the disappointment and look to Him. And maybe that's been His plan all along. God's not a genie who grants your every wish. He doesn't exist to meet all of your wild expectations. If that's what you think, then you're going to be disappointed with your image of God. No, God is God. That's why He has that name. He saved you, and He's doing everything within His power to make you the best you that you can be, to be like Jesus Christ in your attitude and in your action. He is shaping you, and He's forming you. And if that process means some of your dreams will be shattered and you will be disappointed, then in the end, it will be worth it all. Job said it best. He said, though He slay me, yet will I hope in Him. Okay, so don't get a t-shirt with this verse on it, because the world doesn't understand this verse and they're going to say, what on earth? You want your God to slay you? No, it's not that I want Him to slay me. It's whatever God brings into my life, whatever disappointment I experience, I'm going to continue to hope in Him. I'm going to continue to trust in Him. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. If you are a humble, dependent servant of God, it all makes sense. It's not just about getting happy. It's not just about smiling through the pain and pretending things are great. It's about joining your joy to the Lord. It's about making sure that your mission is His mission. Your expectations are His expectations. Because true joy does not depend on the circumstances of life, but the character of God. Our true joy comes from God, not from this life. So rejoice that you don't have to struggle through this life alone. But the Lord is present with you. He's here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Paul also writes here in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 5. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And the word there that's translated gentleness can also be translated fairness or goodness. Let your goodness, your fairness, your gentleness be evident to all. Now, how can you be so calm and gentle and non-anxious when you face persecutions like the church at Philippi was facing? How can you remain gentle in that situation? How is it possible to be gentle when you are racked with disappointment? The answer is found right here. The Lord is near. Right? Four words. The Lord is near. Now we can take that two ways. One way is to see that the Lord is present with you, right? The Holy Spirit lives within you if you are a believer in Him. So you can remain gentle because He is near to you right now. But I think what's really in view here is the second coming of the Lord. That the return of Jesus Christ is near. That's what it's talking about when it says the Lord is near. Because the Christians that lived in the early church had this expectation that Christ would return at any moment. And so they were able to face suffering and persecution and disappointment with Christ's return in view. He's coming. The Lord is near. So disappointment is defeated when you anticipate Christ's appearance. Now, how does this work? Well, whenever you become disappointed in life because your expectations have not been met with reality, you have some options. There are some things you can do. You can stare at your feet in dejection. And you can feel sorry, amen. You can feel sorry for yourself, right? You can throw a pity party. Or you can muster up some energy, you know, and you can put on a happy face and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. These are the options that we face. Paul points to a much better way here in this passage of Scripture. He says, take heart. The Lord is near. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And all things will be set straight. Things might not be going your way today, but one day all things are going to go God's way, and you will have a front row seat for that action for all eternity. Can you face the little disappointment you face now knowing that everything is going to be set straight one day? When Jesus comes to take us home, disappointment will be done forever. Forever. So the Lord is near is an encouragement to us to face whatever it is we have in this life without disappointment, knowing that God is in control. So hang on, take heart, let the hope of tomorrow soothe the hurt of today. Now you might ask the question, what should I do when I face disappointment? What happens when I can't sleep because of the tears? Don't miss the fact here in this passage of Scripture that there's a prayer involved. There's prayer involved here. You can talk to God when you're disappointed. Look at what Paul says in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, you can replace that with the word disappointment, in every disappointment, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Bring it to God. Talk to God. He's given us that option, right? Eugene Peterson paraphrases this beautifully. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Take the disappointments, the worries, the anxiety of this life, and allow it to shape into prayers that you give to God. Give your disappointments to God. Let Him know. He's a big God, and He's got a good plan, and He can handle your complaint. God's complaint department is never on hold. You can put your complaints into God whenever you want. But one of the most important features of prayer is the transition that takes place from when we tell God to we begin to ask God. And then we begin to open our heart to God, and then eventually we're being shaped by God. It's this transformation that takes place, and it all happens in prayer. Back to David's prayer that we looked at earlier. David said, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? Where are you, God? I've been missing you, Lord. I haven't seen you in my life lately. Where are you? Can't you see that my enemies are beating me? Where are you, God? And so he's giving his disappointments to God. But the transition takes place at that word, but. See, but the transition, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David goes from airing his complaint and telling God what he wants to softening his heart and trusting in God's love, rejoicing in salvation, singing praise to God, recognizing the goodness of God. It's this transition that takes place. Now, when was the last time that you had such an emotionally rich time of prayer like that? One of our problems is that we talk a lot about prayer, but maybe we don't pray as often as we should. And certainly not with as much texture as that prayer that David prays. Bring your anxiety to God. Bring your disappointments to him. Use every form of prayer you can find. Prayers, petitions, thanksgivings. Present your requests to God. And expect that a change will be made. If it's not God that's changed, it will be you that's changed. So praying through your disappointment beats stewing in it any day of the week. Bring it to God. And the result of such prayer and petition and praise and thanksgiving is found right here in this passage. It's peace. Peace. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the result of that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. When we face disappointment and we struggle with God in prayer, we walk away with a gift from God, peace from him. So disappointment is defeated when you grow in God's peace. The great thing about this peace is that it transcends all understanding. The New American Standard says it surpasses all comprehension. In the Greek, literally, it means it rises above your mind, right? This type of peace rises above your mind. The peace of God is bigger than your disappointment. Let me say it again. The peace of God is bigger, much bigger. The peace of God is bigger than any disappointment that you have ever faced or will ever face. You can wallow anxiously in your disappointment, or you can settle comfortably into the peace of God. It's your choice. And it's amazing how these things work out. Your disappointment, and you're disappointed because you did not get into the college that you wanted to go to. Oh. So you got to go to your second or your third choice for college, right? And it's embarrassing to tell your friends, I didn't get in, sorry. I got to go here instead. Oh, well. But when you get to that school, you fall in love with the school and you meet your husband there. Oh, seems like maybe somebody else was behind this. Why did I experience such disappointment when God had this thing all wrapped up together? He knew what he was doing. You're disappointed because you keep sending your resume without getting any bites. Over and over again, you send your resume, and month after month of disappointment, you're about to give up, and you receive a call. Now, it's not what you expected, but it's a fresh start. It's something new. And looking back, hindsight is 20/20, you would not give away all that you learned in the months that you were away from work as you start this new experience. And as I look back on my life, I can pull out numerous threads of disappointment here and there throughout my life, and I can show you how the Lord has turned them to gold. To gold. Things that disappointed me, that I was upset about, that I may have shed tears over, that I can look at now and say, God knew what he was doing. You can do that too. I challenge you to do that. Think back over some of the biggest disappointments of your life and recognize that God was at work. Now, I'm not saying that we are going to be able to figure out every one of our disappointments in the here and now. Certainly some things we will discover in the sweet by and by when we look at the Lord in his face and say, what was that about, God? And he shows us and we say, oh, I should have never lost my faith. It comes down to this. We mistakenly think, for some reason, that the Christian life lived well is a life with no difficulties and no disappointments. Think again. The truth of the matter, if you read the Word of God, is disappointment is a tool that God uses in our lives to shape us into the people that He wants us to be. He's designing us for all eternity. And sometimes it takes disappointment to get us there. And the key is how you deal with it. If you will use the disappointments as this life as an opportunity to rejoice in Him, to lift your eyes toward heaven, to struggle in prayer and to find the peace of God at the end of that prayer, then disappointment will be a great opportunity instead of a great obstacle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your word to us today. We praise You that You are a God who does not disappoint. Lord, that You have our best in mind, that even when we experience disappointment in this life due to loss, due to the fact that our expectations do not meet our experience, due to the fact that reality slaps us in the face, Lord, we are thankful that we have a God who knows the beginning from the end, a God who can take our disappointments and frustrations and turn them to gold. So, Father, I pray that You would help us to trust You more. Lord, that we would learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Father, that we would learn to walk with You through prayer in those times of disappointment, to give You our requests. Lord, to complain a little bit, but also, Father, to arrive at peace. Father, thank You that You are a God who understands disappointment. And, Lord, that You have not left us alone here, but You have given us Your Holy Spirit, who yearns within us for us to walk this journey. Father, to come through the disappointment and to find that we are even stronger than before. Help us, Lord, as Your people, to experience that day by day in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.